Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Mona Lyons. I represent Amy Maldonado, the appellant here and the plaintiff below. Ms. Maldonado presented three claims to the district court, a claim for discrimination based on pregnancy, and two related contractual claims under California law.
Do you understand the claim relating to the Postal Service to be resolved by the briefs? Essentially conceded by the...
It's undisputed. The only evidence with respect to that was that the testimony of the Vice President of Worldwide Sales, Alan Hahn, of saying that, yes, that was her sale, and she should be credited for it. She was not. There's no dispute that she was not.
Is that one of the two you were referring to?
Of the claims, no.
Okay, I was talking... Morgan Chase...
Right. You're talking about particular sales and commissions. I was talking about the three legal claims that were advanced.
Gotcha.
The district court granted summary judgment on all three claims, and in our view, erred with respect to each. The district court did recognize what the court's job was in resolving the pregnancy discrimination claim. As determining whether, quote, and quoting from the Brady decision, the employee produced sufficient evidence for a reasonable jury to find that the employer's asserted non-discriminatory reason was not the actual reason, and that the employer intentionally discriminated against the employee on the basis of sex. Of course, there are various ways for the plaintiff to do that, but as the district court in quoting Brady in Hawkins versus Holder said, for example, how can the employee do that? Quote, a plaintiff may point to inconsistencies in the record and the corresponding doubts raised as to the credibility of a defendant's asserted legitimate non-discriminatory explanations, which could be regarded by a reasonable jury as pretext for a discriminatory motive. And that is precisely what Amy Maldonado did in the district court. The stated reason that LogLogic provides for Ms. Maldonado being fired was that she failed to confirm a meeting at the Department of Energy on November 3rd of 2005. To set that in context, that meeting on November 3rd, Mr. Hahn, the decision maker and Ms. Maldonado's supervisor, learned that Ms. Maldonado, who was the only female representative in the LogLogic workforce, which only had 5% females in the entire workforce, he learned that she was pregnant, according to her, in late September of 2005, and according to him, on October 10th, 2005. She was fired on November 4th, 2005.
So does it matter which of those two earlier dates is involved?
Not at all.
Prior to the discharge?
Not at all. However, the evidence she presented on her informing him in late September may be probative of the credibility of Mr. Hahn's assertions with respect to why she was fired.
It wasn't just the meeting, right? You have to look at the meeting in context. I guess there had been poor performance generally in terms of meeting the annual sales quota. Then you're put on a improvement plan, right? And then October shows no improvement at all. And then you have the meeting. So it seems to me focusing just on the meeting in isolation is not quite being fair to the way the defendant presented it.
The problem is that isn't really what the defendant asserted below. It stated unequivocally that the reason that she was fired was because she failed to confirm the meeting at DOE.
Right. And the reason that's the precipitating cause, I suppose, for why it was at that particular time. It may have come a little later, but for that. But it was that in conjunction, as I understood it, with the poor performance that the defendant saw from the plaintiff before that.
I can only assume that the reason LogLogic didn't argue that more aggressively, Judge, is because of the related facts. There was not a single sales account executive at LogLogic who was meeting their quota. Mm-hmm. The reason for that is that it was a brand new sales force. Everyone got hired in late 2004. It was a startup year for a startup company.
But others were also put on performance improvement plans, right?
They were. Two of them specifically who are relevant here were both, two men were put on performance improvement plans at the same time as Maldonado was in October of 2005. Neither one of those men met their targets. Neither one of them met the requirements of the PIP. And neither one of them were fired by Mr. Hine.
It showed some improvement, right? I guess that's the...
Well, we don't have the numbers for one of them. The Mr. Greenwood, for example, sold $5,000 worth, had a $5,000 sale in October. I think he had a $44,000 sale in November, and then had a sale. He made about $200,000 of the $300,000 that he was required to make to survive the PIP.
Your point, if I'm taking it correctly, is the reason they didn't rely more heavily on the prior work conduct is because there were similarly situated men who were not fired for that.
Right. And I think an argument could be made if Ms. Maldonado's testimony that she told Mr. Hahn that she was pregnant in late September because she had to go have a sonogram and he had prohibited them all from taking any time off in the final quarter, okay? So she disclosed her pregnancy. An argument could be made when looking at all the other conflicting and shifting explanations provided by Mr. Hahn for what happened here, that she was never gonna be put on a PIP in the first instance, because both he and she testified that they were aware that sales in the federal territory were going to be slower than sales everywhere else as the year started. Remember, too, what we have here, and this is undisputed, everyone had the same quota. It's a startup year. Everybody gets $1.5 million that they have to sell. Nobody's doing it as of October, and nobody does it by the end of the year, with the possible exception of one employee. The record is not clear on that. It's not really relevant. In any event, LogLogic argued before the district court, and I believe says it unequivocally in its brief to you, that the reason Maldonado was fired was because of her failure to confirm the meeting at DOE. And I want to point now,
Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to discuss now some of the conflicting evidence that raises doubts about the believability of that. And perhaps the most compelling of those are the testimony by Mr. Hahn himself. Mr. Hahn asserts in his unequivocally in his deposition that he called Amy Maldonado on November 2nd, 2005, and directed her to confirm with DOE's chief information officer that the chief information officer would be meeting with Mr. Hahn the following day on November 3rd. And when he was asked on deposition the following question, he was asked, is it your testimony now, sir, that you specifically recall telephoning Amy Maldonado on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2005, and directing her to confirm with DOE's CIO that she would be meeting with him on Thursday? He answered, that is correct. Contrary to that is an email that Mr. Hahn sent to Ms. Maldonado on November 3rd at 3:09 p.m., shortly after he had left the Department of Energy. And what that email says, contrary to his sworn testimony, is, I asked you last week to confirm we had a meeting, and you said we did. Surely, that, by the way, is in the joint appendix at 317. Surely, if Mr. Hahn had called Ms. Maldonado just the previous day to ask her to confirm the meeting, he would have referenced that in the email he sent the actual day of the meeting.
But isn't the key point the substance of whether there had been a request for confirmation?
Yes. And Ms. Maldonado...
This email as a whole is not helpful to your case, obviously, because it talks about the problem with the meeting being mismanaged and waste of time. My expectations that when you say we have a meeting, one is actually scheduled, not just an ad hoc walk-in.
With all due respect, Judge Kavanaugh, the email is pretext.
Okay.
This meeting was used as an excuse by Mr. Hahn to gin up a theory that would get the approval of the president of the company to fire Ms. Maldonado, who he wanted to fire from the moment he learned she was pregnant.
I take your point on that. I was just pointing out, I'm not sure it matters last week versus yesterday. Is really that strong a card for you.
The point is, Mr. Hahn's deposition is replete with conflicting statements, and that those statements are conflicted by other evidence in the record. This case is nowhere near, Judge Brown, what you described in your dissent in Arrington as a confabulation that Candide would suspect. There is compelling evidence here that a jury is entitled to weigh. Ms. Maldonado is entitled to a jury of her peers to weigh it. Little things, if I may just reference quickly. In his deposition, Mr. Hahn testifies under oath that he does not know if he decided whether to fire Ms. Maldonado before the meeting at DOE. He testifies to that in his deposition. He testifies he does not know who first proposed to fire Ms. Maldonado or when. It is in the context of that sort of testimony that I assert that this meeting was used as a pretextual mishap to blame Amy Maldonado for and to attempt to justify the termination.
Was Vivian Golub in on the pretext? Because her email then says that she should be terminated, right?
I think Vivian Golub was a personnel consultant. She had participated in the conference call on October 28th, where Ms. Maldonado disclosed all the prospects in her territory that her male sales engineer then was promoted to go out and close. We don't know what happened behind closed doors. Ms. Golub was deposed. Mr. Hahn was obviously looking for permission to pull the trigger and got it from Ms. Golub, who had participated in the conference call the previous week.
Did he need permission from her?
I don't know, but he asked for it. Chris Brennan, who was also copied on the email, is the CEO of the company. Mm-hmm. And I believe it also, is there a Ms. Ricci copied on that, Marlise?
No.
Okay. I don't have that one in front of me. I'm sorry. I've taken too much of your time, and I haven't even begun to address the California contractual questions.
Well, we'll give you a minute for rebuttal.
Thank you.
We'll hear from Mr. Brown.
Good morning. May it please the court. Tyler Brown on behalf of Defendant LogLogic. Ms. Maldonado was fired for wasting her supervisor's time by having him fly across the country for a meeting which he had asked her to confirm, which she did not confirm, and which ultimately ended up being a waste of his time, as the key individual that he wanted to be at that meeting was not, in fact, there. And Judge Kavanaugh, I do believe it is important to look at this in the context in which the events took place, those contexts being that Ms. Maldonado's sales efforts to that point were terrible. Yes, it is true that no salesperson was meeting goals, but it is also true that only three of those salespeople's goals were so bad that they warranted a performance improvement plan. One of those people, of course, was Ms. Maldonado, and then two gentlemen, Mr. Shank and Mr. Greenwood. It is also undisputed that Ms. Maldonado's defense to her actions really results in saying, well, my sales engineer, Fabricio Furman, confirmed the meeting, so it's not fair to hold me accountable. Well, with all due respect to Ms. Maldonado, that's not the issue before this court. Mr. Hahn testified that it is his belief, as Ms. Maldonado's supervisor, that she, as the sales representative, has the ultimate responsibility for confirming a meeting of such import. The fact that she decided, for whatever reason, to pass it off onto her subordinate is her decision, but by doing so, she puts herself at risk, because Mr. Hahn certainly says that, look, it's salesperson 101. If you're going to a meeting like this, and if you're going to drag me across the country, you've got to make sure that meeting is in fact going to take place. The issue at the end of the day, of course, in this case is there evidence of pregnancy discrimination? The only evidence that plaintiff has that pregnancy has anything to do with this case is her statement to Mr. Hahn, oh, by the way, I find this performance improvement plan to be suspicious because it comes after I told you that I was pregnant. Well, he, of course, immediately writes back and says, wait a minute, I didn't know anything about that.
That's a factual dispute.
That is a factual dispute.
Isn't that something a jury should decide?
No, Your Honor, if the issue, if the only thing at issue in this case were, is that the determining factor, yes, that sole issue is a factual question. But when you then look at the entire body of what happened after that, you look at it in the context of what happened at the meeting at DOE, the question of what evidence is there of pregnancy discrimination comes down to only this tenuous temporal connection of being told and then subsequent events. There's nothing else in the record which would point to pregnancy being a factor in any way, shape, or form in the decision-making process here. Moreover,
well, that's often going to be the case, right? You have a temporal, and the two things they have are the temporal circumstances and the fact that some men who were underperforming were not fired even though they didn't meet their performance improvement plans. Those are two facts in combination that are not insignificant.
The men stopped being similarly situated at the point at which they, unlike Ms. Maldonado, did not drag their boss across the country for a wasted meeting. They were similarly situated at the point in time in which Mr. Hahn made the decision to put them on the PIP, which goes to show that decision was not discriminatory. However, from that point forward, they diverge because those individuals didn't do what Ms. Maldonado did. She, the precipitating event, and there is no question, the reason she was terminated was the DOE meeting. However, you do have to look at it in the context of her past sales. The other thing that's important here is the argument is that the DOE meeting was pretext. Well, if that's the case, then it just defies logic that after an October in which Ms. Maldonado makes no sales, at that point, if Mr. Hahn were so inclined, so motivated to try to find, you know, oh, I've got some excuse now, why doesn't he fire at that point? Instead, he gives her, you know, more.
He wasn't firing the men.
He wasn't firing the men, but the men had improved. And so,
at that point.
Well, over the course,
later when they improved.
I think the record is not entirely clear as to the exact timing. But what is clear is that Ms. Maldonado did not improve. She didn't make a single sale. And during that time, that certainly would have provided Mr. Hahn grounds for termination if he had so desired. This issue of Mr. Furman set up the meeting, and that is a reason for doubting Mr. Hahn. Again, it is still Ms. Maldonado's job to confirm that meeting. The question that is raised in the brief that Mr. Furman thought the meeting went well, that's all well and good, but it does not prove anything with regard to Mr. Hahn's intent and his feelings, which are expressed very clearly in the email that he sent immediately afterwards. This idea that the fact that the email doesn't reference, and you confirmed it for me yesterday, is of no moment. The fact of the matter is this is an email. As we all know, emails are sent, and particularly on this one, basically on his way to the airport saying, I'm really ticked off about this. He references the fact that I asked you to do it a whole week ago, and yet still this didn't happen. So it's not at all inconsistent that he also made an effort to speak to her on November 2nd and again said, you need to confirm this meeting. The idea that the question of whether Mr. Hahn did in fact tell her or decided to fly before he knew that Mr. Hickson was going to be there, the only support for that premise comes from Ms. Maldonado's well after the fact declaration submitted in response to our motion for summary judgment. That is just, contrary.
This gets to something that happens in all these cases, but if that were believed by a jury and Mr. Hahn were not believed, No, that's a factual issue.
If that were believed, that he had decided to fly there before he knew Hixon was there, it does not necessarily undercut the fact that he told her, I want Hixon there. It would diminish, to some extent, the wasting of time argument. But at the end of the day,
Which would in turn support the pretext idea. In other words, someone's a poor performer, and by the way, she's pregnant, we're getting rid of her. Never said, but perhaps thought, perhaps a jury could so conclude, given all the circumstances, right? That's the theory.
That's the theory. But if that were sufficient to defeat summary judgment, no summary judgment would ever be granted, because it's just too convenient by half that you come up with this declaration at that point in the argument, balanced against the email that Mr. Hahn sends immediately after the meeting fails. Issues of the contract and the commissions, Judge Ginsburg, you brought up the issue of the United States Postal Service. I will tell you that there is no evidence in the record that we can point to which would necessarily indicate that commission was paid. It's a commission
that... If it wasn't paid, it's due and owing?
Yes.
And will be paid?
Yes, and it's about $400. Not that the amount necessarily matters for the principal, but yes, it should be paid. But that does not preclude summary judgment as to the rest of those claims, which it is crystal clear from the language of the agreement itself that plaintiff is not entitled to commissions unless she makes the sale. And there is no evidence that she made these sales. In fact, there is evidence she did not make these sales. Her argument relies solely on saying, well, they took place in my territory. That's all well and good. But there is nothing in the sales contract which says that if a sale is made in your territory in which you do not participate, that you are therefore eligible for commissions. With that, I'd ask you to affirm the decision below. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Ms. Lyons, give you a minute.
Thank you. As I think Mr. Brown made clear, LogLogic's defense of this case rests entirely on the testimony of Mr. Hahn. Mr. Hahn contradicts himself. He provides conflicting and shifting explanations for what happened, when it happened, et cetera. And there's other evidence that is detailed in our briefs that conflicts with his testimony. There is, of course, a disputed sale in the October period for Ms. Maldonado, which was a $195,000 sale to J.P. Morgan. And she did not receive credit for that, or any partial credit for it, because it was delivered to her territory, nor did, of course, she receive any credit for the USPS sale. You asked Judge Kavanaugh about the men, the testimony about Mr. Greenwood's earnings. Again, we don't have Mr. Shanks. It appears that in the deposition of Mr. Hahn at JA-226, and he did have $5,218 of sales in October of 2005. In LogLogic's brief and here today, Mr. Brown has emphasized this after-the-fact declaration of Amy Maldonado, in which she asserts that Mr. Hahn stated that he was going to the Department of Energy before he learned that the CIO was even supposed to attend the meeting. And I must point out to you, the declaration is at JA-198. By the way, Mr. Hahn testified that he regularly attended meetings where the CIO was not present. That's in his deposition testimony. Not only does Ms. Maldonado say that he decided to attend the meeting prior to the time he learned the CIO was supposed to attend, and it was Mr. Furman calling in on the cell phone saying, I've got this meeting set up for November 3rd, listed the people who were coming. She then discusses the meeting. She's on a conference call with Ms. Golub and Mr. Hahn. She then relays this information to them. Mr. Hahn says he's coming, etc. Something else Amy Maldonado says in this declaration.
I'm not sure this is rebutting what Mr. Brown said at this point. rather than going back over the facts.
I just want to point out that she says it was tape recorded and that a transcript and a copy of the tape were provided to LogLogic during discovery. It was not introduced to evidence in the district court below because there is a legal dispute about its admissibility. But the fact that it was tape recorded is in the record, and I think suggests that what we have here is more than a confabulation. We have a genuine factual dispute. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Lyons. Mr. Crown, thank you. Case is submitted.